Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Paul, back with you. I've upped my meds, so just trying to keep up. Oh, man. It's a miracle we aren't all insane. Maybe we are. We have good reason to be insane with everything that's happened here the last couple of years between the pandemic and now just when we thought we were coming out of the pandemic, now we have a war, an invasion of Ukraine. Did you hear what Volodymyr Zelensky said yesterday, DJ?
No, I have not heard that yet.
Sounded like Winston Churchill. Here's what he said, and I'm sure he did borrow from Winston Churchill, and that's okay. Zelensky said, "We will not give up. We will not lose. We will fight to the end in the sea and in the air. We will fight for our land, whatever the costs. We will fight in the forests, in the fields, on the shores, in the streets." So that is what the leader of Ukraine, who has risen to the moment and I guess embarrassed Putin. I mean, he was a comedian, a television comic who played the role of somebody who became president on TV and became so popular he was actually elected to be the real president of Ukraine. And there were a lot of people who doubted his capabilities and thought he was in way over his head. But he's staying put. It would have been easy to hop a flight, hop a chopper to Poland. He has not. He has survived an estimated dozen assassination attempts. And he keeps moving around and just trying to stay alive like everybody in Ukraine right now. And here's the thing that caught my eye. CIA Director William Burns yesterday said that Russia's invasion of Ukraine has fallen far short of Vladimir Putin's expectations. You think? And apparently the head of the CIA believes the Russian president is likely to escalate military operations in the weeks and months to come. His quote, he said, "I think Putin is angry and frustrated right now. He's likely to double down and try to grind down the Ukrainian military with no regard for civilian casualties. His military planning and assumptions were based on a quick, decisive victory." Residents of the Ukraine have stepped up in a big way that's inspiring people all around the world. They're fighting for their homeland. There's growing concern that Russia could use chemical weapons in Ukraine. Some of the same disinformation that was used with Russia's proxies in Syria is being heard now, chatter in Ukraine. What happens if Putin resorts to chemical weapons in an effort to speed things up? And hopefully it's just hype, but there is concern about the use of tactical nuclear weapons, not the big intercontinental ballistic missiles that go from continent to continent, but the smaller yield nuclear weapons. And again, that hasn't happened since 1945. Would Putin really pull that card? Would he play that card? If he was in a corner and losing badly and the economy in ruins, we don't know if he's a rational actor or not. But we're hoping to get some perspective on not only Vladimir Putin, but on the struggle between Mother Russia and Ukraine. My understanding, Russia believes, and Putin points out his version of history, that Ukraine has always been a part of Russia, and he wants to reunite Ukraine with Russia and reconstitute some version 2.0 of the Soviet Union, have that buffer zone between Russia and NATO, who he views as an offensive rather than a defensive alliance. When we come back, Dr. Chris Gertz from Bethel University has been studying what's happening in Russia and Ukraine. He has some historical perspective up next. Paul Douglas back with you. Thank you for tuning in. It's Wednesday. Hope your day is going well. And thank you for your feedback about what you're doing with higher gas prices. We're going to keep that conversation going right up until about 6 o'clock. And of course, everything is interconnected. We live in an interconnected global society. For better or worse, what happens on the other side of the planet many times blows back on our everyday lives. And yeah, we're grappling with inflation. Even before Russia invaded Ukraine, the price for just about everything was going up. The economy was heating up, more people getting back to work, and that had an inflationary impact. And now, with oil prices in some cases going up 40, 50, 70% in the span of a week or two, there's real doubt about what's going to happen with the economy, with inflation. I wanted to back up a few steps and talk with Dr. Chris Gertz at Bethel University, who hopefully can provide some perspective on why we're seeing what we're seeing in the news right now with Russia invading Ukraine. How have we gotten to this moment in history? Dr. Gertz, welcome. Dr. Gertz, can you hear me now?
Yeah, glad to be here, Paul. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. Tell me a little bit about your studies and your takeaways, because one of the questions I get from people is, well, look, Ukraine used to be a part of the Soviet Union. Why are they at war today?
Yeah, I know, and you should really have someone do like medieval history and go back 1,000 years. But I'm a 20th century historian. I teach classes at Bethel on World War II and the Cold War, so I thought a lot about this. I mean, I think you have to go back to like World War I. Russia enters that war in 1914. It's run by Russians, but Ukraine is part of that empire. But the war goes so badly that Russia has a revolution in 1917, and by 1922, you get this communist state called the Soviet Union. And Ukraine is part of that, along with Russia and other republics. It's a multinational state, but increasingly Russians dominate it. And over time, it becomes really difficult for Ukrainians. I think a key moment here is in 1932 and 1933, something like 4 million Ukrainians starved to death. It's called the Holodomor. And it's caused by the policies of Joseph Stalin, the Soviet dictator. And it's really unknown in the West, but it really scars Ukraine for decades to come. And so when the Soviet Union breaks up in 1991, both Russia, Ukraine, and the other republics go their separate ways and start developing separate systems of government, separate economies. Mm-hmm. And so Ukraine has been the separate state ever since, but there's always been a strain of Russian nationalism that doesn't accept this, that never wanted the Tsar's empire to fall, that didn't want the Soviet Union to collapse, and Vladimir Putin's a good example of this. He does not see Ukraine as a separate nation, but as under the Russian thumb. And there's been a minority in the Ukrainian population that's wanted close ties with Russia, but increasingly most Ukrainians see Russia as a threat, and they've wanted closer ties with the European Union, with the United States, with NATO, with the West.
Dr. Gertz, I'm curious, is it that Putin can't abide a free and democratic Ukraine right next to Russia? Is it Ukraine he's worried about, or is it the concept of democracy and representative democracy, people voting for the leaders they want, people who want to be free like most Ukrainians? Is that the real threat to Putin's regime at this point?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think it's probably both. I mean, there's that in some way the desire to reconstitute a Russian empire and rejecting Ukraine as a nation. But yeah, I mean, Ukraine is a semi-successful post-Soviet experiment in democracy. There's an organization in New York called Freedom House that does ratings on political and civil liberty. And Ukraine scores like 60-something out of 100, right? It's described as partly free. It still has issues with corruption. But Russia is under 20, and that's before some of what we've seen the last 3 weeks with dissent being suppressed. So I would say that is partly what's at stake here. Like, if you're bothered by this, one reason you should be bothered is that sometimes authoritarians can't abide a population that doesn't do what they want. And for some time, Putin has been willing to support pro-Russian politicians in Ukraine, but that's been less successful over time. And so since 2014, he's increasingly leaned on either an invasion or supporting separatist groups in the borderlands. So I do think that's partly what's at stake here. Can an authoritarian regime abide a democracy that close at hand?
Some people, a handful of politicians, a minority, thankfully, make the case, well, how would you think if Canada or Mexico was in a threatening posture and had weapons, and, you know, if our concern was on our next-door neighbors? And they make the point, and I don't know if there's any historical accuracy to this, Professor. I hope you'll clear this up, that James Baker, back in the late 90s, after Gorbachev said, okay, Germany can be reunified under one condition, that NATO doesn't go one inch farther east. And apparently, and you hear different things from different historians, whether or not that really happened. But in Putin's mind, his paranoid view of the world, NATO is not a defensive force defending against a Russian attack. It is an offensive threat. And at least that's how he apparently views the world and views the West, and doesn't want NATO and weapons right up against his border. But he already has that in Latvia and other countries in the Baltics. So do you subscribe to any of that as a possible rationale for why Putin absolutely does not want Ukraine to become a member of NATO?
Yeah, I mean, let me go back to where you started with the notion of a Canada or a Mexico seeming like a threat to the United States. I mean, partly what we just need to understand as Americans is we're so accustomed to not having these threats. I mean, if we think about our borders, we're thinking about immigration, but we live in a society that doesn't have to deal with this. I think that's what makes this all so hard for us to understand, is the notion of the possibility of a war across borders. I mean, if you go back to the 1990s, there's real debate about should NATO continue to exist once the Soviet Union is not there, And if it does, should it expand into the former Soviet zone? And part of the problem is that there are Eastern Europeans and people in, like, the Baltic republics who very much want NATO, right? They still see Russia as a threat, and they see value to being connected to the West. So I think that, at least at one point, was a legitimate question to ask. Should NATO exist? Where should its borders be? It's very hard for me to think that there's a reason to think that NATO is an offensive threat, right? It is a threat in the sense that it is a collective security arrangement to defend against invasion. And so there's a reason that Vladimir Putin is not going to invade Latvia or Lithuania or Poland or Hungary, right?
Right.
But that's not an offensive threat. That's actually a deterrent against the kind of thing we're seeing in Ukraine, where one very large power can invade its smaller neighbors.
Professor, last question, and this has been very insightful, and I appreciate you weighing in with your perspective on this, but 44 million people in Ukraine. Now it's less than that because, 2-3 million people have fled the country. Zelensky is still there, as far as we know. My understanding, the Russians have about 150,000, 170,000 troops. But to secure Ukraine over the long haul, an occupation would require many, many hundreds of thousands of troops, capabilities that perhaps Russia doesn't want to commit to Ukraine. How do you see it? What kind of an end game, knowing what you do about the history of Ukraine, do you think Ukraine will be able to hold out and ultimately prevail, that there will be a resistance that the Russians simply can't crush over time?
Sure. And I mean, this is really beyond my ken. I'm not an expert in Ukrainian politics or even Russia, but, like, as a historian, one thing that I have thought a lot about is what is the purpose of war, right? War is politics by other means, right? There's got to be some political end here. And I guess I assumed when Russia invaded 3 weeks ago, it was not meant to occupy the entire country, to annex the entirety, maybe some of the borderlands, but probably to install a more supportive pro-Russian regime by force. And in theory, that's still possible, but I think the degree of not just Ukrainian, but international revulsion at this and the fairly quick economic impact of sanctions and exports being cut off and other sorts of penalties, I mean, it is a good question to ask at this point. What does Putin think he's going to win? Minnesota native Tom Friedman, the New York Times columnist, had a piece up asking, what can Putin win out of this? And in some ways, that should be really frightening to us, because he does possess nuclear weapons, right? And
yeah,
it's also possible that if the sanctions work as they're intended, it could provoke political change in Russia, which can bring about the downfall of the regime, but also produces incredible instability in what's still a very powerful country that has a nuclear arsenal, that has a very large, oil and gas supply. That I don't think we've seen the end of the aftershocks of this invasion, unfortunately.
Well, I wish I had had you as a professor when I was in college, because I've really enjoyed the last 10 minutes. Professor of History at Bethel University, Dr. Chris Gertz. Can we have you back on again?
Oh, I'd love to. And you can audit any class anytime you want, Paul.
I would really like that. I would enjoy that. Okay. Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time today.
Sure. Have a good night.
You too. Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, we don't know what we don't know, but we're trying to figure it all out. When we come back, a quiz. What's the quiz today, DJ? Is it on gas prices?
Yeah, it's going to be on gas prices and fuel economy and all sorts of interesting stuff.
Oh, all
I
right.
expect you to do poorly because you drive an electric vehicle.
I also drive a gas-powered, and I drive it electric. Okay. I got a foot in both camps. Stick around, see how poorly I perform on this quiz, and you can play along next. Hey, Jorah will be back with us, with DJ and me and you, next week. Back in the studio, you can listen to her this week. She's filling in 9 to noon, doing an amazing job. Hurricane Jordana, Category 5.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2 minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
If I've ever met one. DJ, I sense another painful quiz that's going to show just how stupid I am.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
Well, yes, you do.
A little quiz about fuel economy. You know, for 10 years, I drove a little Saturn, little S-Series Saturn manual transmission. I bought it in college, yeah. And it got 32, 33 miles a gallon with the manual transmission. And I always thought it was the last 6 months of driving the car, and then it never died. I had it for 10 years, and then I finally decided I couldn't buckle my kids into the back seat of that, you know, rust bucket. So I had to let it go. But I bought it for $700. I drove for 10 years, getting 30 miles a gallon plus, and then sold it for $500. So
that's awesome.
That's awesome. Hey, that's cheap driving. I'm not quite that cheap anymore, I guess.
That reminds me of my first vehicle, yeah. Was a powder blue VW Bug.
Okay.
I bought for $850.
Yep.
And 2 years later, I sold it for $850.
Nice, yes.
And that was a manual.
Yeah.
And it got about 30, 35 miles per gallon.
That's great.
And it had a sunroof. I could stick my head out.
Was that the air
above the sunroof as I was driving, which, man.
Yeah.
16 and stupid. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm stalling now.
Okay.
This
is a quiz. It's all about fuel economy and gas and stuff like that, because that's our topic for the day. The first question is, which of these will help improve your fuel economy? Which of these three things will help improve your fuel economy? A, warming up your car before you start driving down the road. Make sure it's warm and efficient. B, avoiding your cruise control, because the cruise can not be good for gas mileage. Or C, removing your car's roof rack. Which one of those will help your fuel economy?
I think the roof rack, that should reduce drag. My understanding is the newer cars, you don't want to warm them up. There's no need to warm them up. You're wasting gas by warming them up. I think it's the roof rack which would create some drag.
That's correct. Yeah, and there's different reports and obviously different vehicles, but some reports say it could be up to around 7% fuel savings. So that's significant. If you
really?
Especially if it's like an aftermarket roof rack, right? With the ones that are built into the car, usually they're pretty good. But if you have an aftermarket, you've got a Thule or something like that, might be a good time to take that off and see if you can save a couple dollars. So,
okay, good to know.
True or false, having clean engine oil can improve your fuel economy.
True.
That's right. I think we all hear tips like having your tires inflated and things like that, but actually making sure to have your scheduled oil changes, having clean engine oil, can make your car more efficient as well.
How often do you put oil in your vehicle?
One vehicle I change at 3,000, the other one's 5,000.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I do it myself, Paul. I'm sure you do too, but I do it in the garage.
I don't put oil in the Tesla.
You tried that once?
No, but I do put oil in the X7, BMW X7.
Okay.
And look, it's gotten pretty easy. The maintenance is easier than it was 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So, okay.
We always hear about the term a barrel of oil, right? Well, they're talking about crude oil when you hear that term. And a barrel of crude or of oil has about 42 gallons of crude in it. And then that still needs to get refined. So after the refining process, how many gallons of usable gasoline come out of that 42 gallons of crude? Is it, and then there's other products too, right? They refine it down, and then there's other products they make from the rest of it. Is it 19 gallons or 25 gallons or 41 gallons?
What's the, I think it's 25. It's the middle one. No, it's not.
It's actually only 19 gallons of gas come out of that 42 gallons of crude. So it's a little bit less than half. But again, there's lots and lots of other products that come from that as well.
Huh. Okay. That's sobering.
Paul, right now, where in the world, what country would you pay the most for fuel? Which of these countries has the highest fuel costs in the country? This is for regular gasoline. Is it Hong Kong or South Africa or Norway?
Hong Kong, South Africa, or Norway? I know Norway does a lot of drilling. I think they're fairly energy self-sufficient, so I can't imagine that Norway would have unusually high prices. The rest of Europe, you pay a lot more than we do here in the States, if you've ever gassed up in France or Germany or anywhere. But South Africa and Hong Kong, oh my goodness. I'm going to go with Hong Kong.
Look at that. You're right for the wrong reason. Norway actually often has the highest gas prices, and I think, 5 or 6 years ago did. But right now it is Hong Kong at $10.42 a gallon.
Is that a gallon or a liter?
That's the math being done. It's sold in liters and per whatever they use in Hong Kong, I don't know. But if you do the math, it's $10.42. That's the other thing, is that exchange rates can impact that too, right? If the dollar is strong or weak in Norway, then it could change which one takes that.
Well, I know Norway has been trying to wean themselves off oil and gasoline. And
I think they tax it very heavily as a way to wean themselves off, yeah.
Yeah, they're farther ahead of us when it comes to EVs. Okay.
Two more questions quick for you.
Okay.
The original Model T got how many miles a gallon? 25, or 41?
Boy. 920. I have never given this any thought. I will, I would hope that maybe it was a lighter vehicle. It didn't have all the, all the stuff, the weight, the sheer weight that modern-day vehicles have, I'm going to ballsy move and go 45.
It was actually 25. Is interesting that it, you know, a lot of cars we drive now have the exact same fuel economy.
Yeah, so that is interesting.
I kind of wish we'd done better over the years, but I guess not.
It'd be cool to drive a Model T, wouldn't it? You still see them around every now and then at car shows.
Okay, last question quickly. In 1859, the first ever U.S. oil well was dug in what state?
Pennsylvania.
Wow. How about that?
Now, Titusville.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. You get extra credit.
Yeah, I know. You're not going to go for Texas? Really? I can't believe you knew that off the top of your head.
Well, I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Sure, it wasn't
And then
New
saw
Jersey?
The light and moved to Minnesota. But had to get away from that. All right.
You did pretty
well
today,
DJ. Paul, Thank you, thank you. Thanks for the quiz, and we'll keep the conversation going. Mike Max, a lot of sports to talk about next. The Timberwolves playing the Thunder tonight on your Wolves station. And we still have to give away some tickets, don't we, DJ? Yeah, that's going to be next hour when you hear the Wolves howl, right?
Yeah.
Or are we giving them away right now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, should we? No, I think we should wait till next hour.
We'll wait till next hour.
Okay,
okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Wolves play the Thunder tonight, pregame 6:30, tip-off 7 o'clock right here on CCO. You'll be able to watch baseball on your Apple TV Plus subscription, Friday night doubleheaders. When, not if, when baseball comes back, Maxie, and good to have you back, my friend. Hope you had a good couple of days off.
I did, and thank you. Yeah, I mean, the phone is, Apple is going to be the big player here coming forward, and Amazon and all the great big companies are getting into the Major League Sports game because there's only a few things that you can, only a few ways you can reach some target audiences right now, and sports on television, live sports on television, actually just the live major sports on television are the way to go, so Apple's going to get into that as well.
Interesting. So, hey, I saw Major League Baseball and the union, they were working and right up until about like 2:30 this morning to try to get a collective bargaining agreement. Are they getting close from what you hear?
I haven't heard anything definitive. I believed last week that they were really close, and they weren't. But every time they negotiate till 2:30 in the morning, et cetera, I always think that's a good sign because they didn't say, hey, we're shutting negotiations down. I think both sides know a deal is important and imminent and all those things. That being said, one of the things that the players got to watch out for, I saw Terry Steinbach about this the other day, is if gambling or Apple TV or some of those revenue streams become big in the next couple of years, and let's just say you sign a five-year labor agreement and all of a sudden, hey, Major League Baseball says, oh, god darn it, a year later we got this big deal where you can gamble and each team is going to make another $100 million a year, and the players are out of that because they're cut in the collective bargaining agreement. That's one of the things that they have to be a little bit concerned about because some of these new revenue streams coming in, it's hard to project and it's hard to say when Major League Baseball will get deals done with them.
Interesting, yeah. The only predictable thing is more disruption, and everybody wants their fair share, their piece of the pie. I get that. What else are you tracking, Maxie?
We have tonight the Timberwolves playing Oklahoma City. You mentioned that, and those tickets that we used to, you used to give them away. Now they're a little value to that, right? Not that the tickets are for a nice game, but they'll beat Oklahoma City pretty good tonight. Oklahoma City's down a little bit. They're rebuilding, and the Wolves are on a nice run, and Anthony Edwards getting close to coming back. So that's going to be big. And then the Gopher basketball team plays. Penn State. Yep. Big Ten tournament. Rubber game. They've each won one during the year. And Paul says what?
Look, I keep my expectations low when it comes to Penn State basketball. We've never been a big hoops team. Maybe we will be at some point. But if I had to gamble, I'd wager on the Gophers. It pains me to say that, but I love them both.
Because Penn State got them pretty good the last time at Penn State.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good game. And a little premature to write off the Wild, right?
Oh, yeah, that nice game last night. It was 2-2. New York had just scored a short-handed goal, and it looked like, uh-oh, here comes the old El Fodo again, and instead Kevin Fiala got a goal about a minute later, and he and Marcus Foligno both had two goals, and they look like the Wild that, you know, that this team, that these fans yep. came to love early in the season. Still early, not like you're signing off on them, but it was a good step, and then the fact that Talbot steadied it after that was really good for the goaltending.
Mike Max, appreciate you, man. Hang in there. Have a great show. Smile pretty, okay?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.